Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Oh, Trojan fans, welcome to another edition of the Peristyle Podcast. We got some football, actual football to talk about. USC Pro Day. Of course, USC spring football kicking off on Tuesday. So I'm here with Connor Morissette. We're going to talk all about that. If you have any questions or comments for the show, you can drop us an email, podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. And if you have that Apple Podcasting app or Spotify, wherever you can leave us a review and a rating, we appreciate you doing that to help grow the show. And I do appreciate Mr. Connor Morissette, triple double man here in studio, coming right from the USC campus. We were there yesterday for day one of spring ball. He was there earlier today for USC's pro day. He's in studio with me now. What's up, Connor? How you doing?
Doing well. Made it here in the nick of time, and I'm excited to talk pro day, spring ball. We got a lot to get to today, Ryan. Like you said, a couple weeks ago, we were kind of grasping at straws, figuring out, let's talk NIL, let's rate the transfers, but today we have actual football to discuss, as you said, so a lot to get to. Let's do it.
Yeah, lots of football to get to. I want to let everyone know we are doing a spring sale over at uscfootball.com. Woo. Yeah, 50% off an annual subscription, or if you're a monthly guy now and you want to, monthly person, whatever, guy or gal, if you want to upgrade to an annual subscription, you can do that for 50% off. So it's a good deal. Go check it out. Lots of content going up. I was getting texts, Connor, last night from people in the industry saying, man, you guys have a lot of spring football content up there. Like, That's what we do. So you want to get all that. Gerard Springball Central is awesome. It's a great resource, too. Shows you all the dates and all of our previews of what's going on in the spring. And then, of course, all the analysis and videos. I put up a cool video. I'll show you guys some of the video yesterday. And Connor and Chris put up a video. Kind of sights and sounds of what's been going on. I did the DB drills, and there was a lot of cool aspects of that. So we'll show you guys all that stuff. But make sure you check it out over at uscfootball.com. And I do want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's, because they're freaking awesome. I don't know what else to say about them. Go to TraderJoe's.com. So I go there, you know, a couple times a week, buy my groceries, what I need to do. But I like going to TraderJoe's.com and sort of checking out, you know, what's the flyer, you know, what they have in there. And I clicked on for St. Patrick's Day. They had this Irish cheddar cheese and some Irish whiskey. And I saw the category it was in. It was called Wedges, Wheels, Loaves, and Logs. And if you like a good cheese board, there's a lot of great ideas in there. double cream brie. I'm a brie guy. I like that. They have double cream gouda. feta, whatever you want in there, but whatever you want to put on your charcuterie board. Are you a big charcuterie board guy?
I'll eat it. I don't like putting it together. Who likes putting those together?
There's people that are very good at it.
Not me.
My friend Jess is really good at those. She likes doing those. I like doing them, but mine aren't very fancy, but I do like, you get the fig spread from Trader Joe's. That's a really good addition. You put that with the crackers. They have a lot of great crackers at Trader Joe's too. And you can put them on brie or whatever you want. I like doing them. My other friend, Sarah, is really good at those too. And she is on, and I'm going to just mention this at the top of the show, the Ridgestone Gala Committee. So I'll put up, there's a flyer here. They're having their 50th anniversary gala for charity. It's up in Hollywood. And I wanted to kind of let you guys know a little bit about it because it's pretty cool. It's been going on for 50 years. So it's the Ridgestone Family Center. It's an organization that's been at the forefront of preventing child abuse and trauma while also empowering, educating families for the past 50 years. And it's here in the South Bay. So they are having this gala in Hawaii in Hollywood. But you can go to ridgestonegala.org and check that out. But it's on April 20th, Saturday night. So that's after the USC spring game, I believe, Connor, right?
Yep, yeah. April 20th.
But if you guys are interested in that, there's a lot of different levels of support you can do for that. But it's a great charity. It's been around 50 years here in the South Bay. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Sarah, who's on the committee, and let you guys know about that. And hope you guys can check it out and get more information there. All right, Connor. Maybe we should start. Maybe we'll start with Pro Day since it's like fresh in your mind. You just were down there. Check it out, Caleb Williams. I know you're doing a whole bunch of podcasts and radio after this from Pro Day. I didn't go down there today. So my normal Roger Lodge spot, which I love him over on AM 830, Connor's going to take it. So hope, you got to live up to it, Connor. That's good. But yeah, what were your sort of impressions of USC Pro Day? I mean, last time we had one at USC where there was like a high profile quarterback with Sam Darnold and, Jimmy Haslam was there, like the owner of the Browns. And he didn't get picked by the Browns. He ended up going third to the Jets, but having the Bears hype, I mean, we had a Washington DC TV crew out at practice on Tuesday. So there's definitely a lot of hype around and we got to see some of the players yesterday at practice, but what were your kind of thoughts about USC Pro Day?
Well, when you have the number one pick, all 32 NFL teams were there, but you saw some heavy hitters. And we'll start with the Bears. Ryan Poles, the GM from Chicago, and Matt Eberflus, the head coach, they were both there. We saw them at practice yesterday, like you mentioned. And just watching those guys interact with the Williams camp before Eberflus left the field after watching Caleb Williams throw, he made a point to go over to Caleb's dad, Carl, and just say bye. And it's just so obvious he's the number one pick. I'd bet my life savings on it. He's going to Chicago. It's going to be Caleb Williams. We can stop dancing around. Will they? Won't they? Are they going to trade it? No, they're going to take Caleb Williams. Keenan Allen, who Caleb has a relationship with from both guys being in LA, who was traded to the Bears from the Chargers. He was at Pro Day too, and Caleb talked about how if I go there, it's going to be nice to have Keenan Allen, a guy I know and someone who had a great season last year. So to me, it just seems like that's wrapped up. And the Bears brass, it was cool to see them. But other people and other heavy hitters were there too. My New England Patriots, their offensive coordinator and their general manager were there. I don't think they have a shot at Caleb Williams at pick 3, but it was cool to see some representatives there from my favorite team, the Patriots. And then some other guys, the Vikings quarterback coach, Josh McCown, was there. He spent a long time in the NFL, and he did some work on ESPN, I believe, before going back to coaching. The Vikings, I think, are trying to trade up and get one of the top 3 quarterbacks, probably not going to be Caleb Williams, but it was cool to see McCown there. Kyle McDonald was there, the Chargers running back coach who was at USC the last couple of years. A bunch of other people too. I'll toss it back to you, Ryan, to think of more people. But everyone, like, it was a who's who. I mean, Lewis Riddick from ESPN is there. He's chopping it up with everyone. And Colin Coward was there. And just all these big-time people. It was really cool to see. And that's what happens when you have the number one pick. That's what happens when you have buzz. That's what happens when you're at USC. And there hasn't always been that buzz the past few seasons before Lincoln Riley arrived. So that was great to see.
Yeah, I know people were kind of upset last year with, losing 5 games and all that. But I think the one thing Lincoln Riley brought to the program again is relevance. And just having a Heisman winner, having the potential number one pick, like you just weren't getting that kind of stuff with Clay Helton or anyone like that. So yes, is USC football where it needs to be? No, but it is much more nationally relevant now, going to the Big Ten and, you know, with the staff they've hired and all that, I think it makes a difference. You know, Mark Sanchez was out at practice.
Yeah, and he was there today too.
Yeah, he told me. So I talked to him for a little while. Him and his son, super cute, like 7-year-old. You know, he's going to be out there today. They were doing some stuff with Fox. Yeah, there was national people there. And that makes a difference. Lincoln Riley said yesterday that all 32 teams were going to be represented. But, there, you know, there's other guys that are, you know, Marshawn Lloyds and, you know, Brendan Rice was on Colin Cowherd's show on Monday. You know, so there's some guys that could, you know, he's hoping to go. He wants to go first round, but he was hoping second. We'll see if he's a second day guy or not. Maybe go third round, something like that. Marshawn Lloyd's been getting a lot of love and pub and stuff too. So yeah, outside of Caleb Williams, there's still some dudes there. And yeah, it's pro days changed over the years. I mean, I was talking to somebody, Chuck Hayes at practice, remembering back to like the Reggie Bush days. They used to do the bench press like out on the field and stuff. And there were like people gathered around Reggie Bush benching. And I think Tom Malone had more, the punter had more reps than Lendale White, who showed up late, did. But it's changed a lot since then. They do a lot of stuff inside now, which you should probably do. But yeah, I don't know. You went to Pro Day last year too? Uh-huh. This is your second
one? Last year was pouring rain and it was miserable.
Oh, yeah.
So that was unfortunate, and they didn't have a quarterback to go through a throwing routine, so they did the 40-yard dash like they did this year. And if you're a good prospect, you're not really running the 40-yard dash at your school's pro day. Caleb didn't run. Kalen Bullock didn't run today. Brendan Rice didn't run today. Marshawn Lloyd didn't run today. That was reserved more for some of the other guys. And then they do some other drills, like a cone drill just to see your agility.
It's like three cones and then shuttle. And I forget what they're all called, but you – Uh-huh. Yeah.
So – But to your point, they did the bench press before all that inside, and we weren't able to see it. And then the 40-yard dash, then the cone drill, some agility stuff, some defensive back stuff, throwing balls, seeing if they can start as a defensive back and then track back and make an interception. And then the moment everyone was waiting for, Caleb Williams does his pro day routine because, remember, he didn't throw at the combine.
Right.
So a lot of eyes were on him. He said after he missed a couple of throws, I could only watch half. And in the half that I watched, I had him for only one bad throw. But, I mean, the guy, he's the number one pick for a reason. He looks like a natural back there. And his quarterback coach, I didn't get the guy's name. I'm sure the real diehard USC fans know Caleb Williams' private quarterback coach's name. But he was sort of running Caleb through the drills. And it was cool to see his dad, Caleb's Carl Williams, watch and just kind of take it all in. That was really awesome to see. And I think Caleb really came across really well. He still has that shaggy look where the hair's a little off and the beard is crazy because he's committed to working really hard, and that's what that look is showing off to me. I thought he had a great day.
Yeah. We had a question in the chat. By the way, I forgot to mention, we're live on YouTube. So if you're in the chat and you want to put a question up there, we will start and get to it later. If you have some funny comments, I will do my best to put them up as we're talking. I have to kind of scan that while we're having the conversation. I need a producer. Like, I'm doing the producing while we're doing the show. I mean, if we hit the lottery, I'll keep doing the show. I'll just hire a producer. Like, if we do that, you know, do that thing. But Blackie Chan wants to know, besides Caleb, who's the most impressive player at the pro day?
Well, it's tough because a lot of the best guys who are going to get drafted didn't do a whole lot. So Brendan Rice running routes with Caleb was impressive. Max Williams made a really great play on an interception, a diving catch that maybe got the biggest reaction from the crowd. Taj Washington made a nice catch where he got the end of the ball and brought it in. There were some guys who didn't look as good. I won't name names, but the 40-yard dash, if you're a bigger guy, that can be kind of tough sometimes. So definitely some people who was like, that didn't really look that good. But I'd say the receivers, and then just he always looks really good. Marshawn Lloyd, he didn't do a ton, but just he's a specimen. And talking to him after, I said, what teams have you heard from? And a lot of these guys say everyone, and Marshawn mentioned everyone, but then he said he's flying to the Tennessee Titans tonight for a meeting. So I thought that was really cool. Don't want to make him the next Derrick Henry. Don't want to put that on him because it's so hard to, of course, do what Derrick Henry did. But man, Marshawn Lloyd averaging 7 yards a carry last year. He's a little different than Derrick Henry, but he can run through guys. And if the Titans take him, that would be awesome.
Yeah, no, he could be the replacement for Derrick Henry. Yeah. I mean, I think fans just kind of gravitated towards him throughout the year. They really liked him and stuff. So we'll see. Yeah, and you know, Brendan Rice, like he was talking about, you know, if you put up good numbers at the combine, you didn't really need to run at the pro day as well. You probably only hurt yourself. I think he said that he got up, it was like 23 miles. He had whatever number it was, like one of the top, like as far as top speeds go on the 40. You know, as a bigger dude, he had one of the fastest speeds. So he said people know he's a burner. So yeah, if you did enough at the combine, you don't really need to do, you know, repeat that. But some guys didn't do stuff. And if you just want to throw in a more controlled environment like Caleb Williams, then you can do that. All right. Well, let's move on to spring football. So it's sort of all happened late Monday. I think they sent the spring prospectus at midnight or so, Monday night and going into Tuesday. We got the roster was updated in the evening, Monday evening. So heading into spring ball, a lot of number changes, a lot of new faces. Bodies have changed. We're seeing a lot of weight put on. I mean, especially in the defensive line, there's a lot of bigger guys that, you know, and some of the guys they brought in, like a John, I got a couple pictures here. We're getting more pictures. Shotgun will be here for the next practice, but like John Humphrey looks like a big guy. Cameron Fountain, you know, pretty big dude. Isaiah Rakes, he's
he's a big dude.
He's a massive human being. So there's some big bodies there that we saw. You were there at the tunnel when guys were coming out. Any kind of initial impressions from seeing old faces, new faces? Anyone you want to go to?
There were a lot of new faces, and it was just nice to start the year fresh. I mean, when I don't want to talk about myself, but I guess I will for a second, but I started doing spring football last year and it was fun to start year two. And I remember last year everyone was at the tunnel and I was like, crap, I'm late. Now this year got there bright and early to make sure that I could snap all the photos of all the guys. I thought Kamari Ramsey, Ryan, looked really big, and he was at UCLA last year. Felt like he had
wearing number seven.
Yeah, felt like he had like a barrel chest working. He just looked like a man out there. And we all know, if you listen to the podcast, you all know out there how much I think he's going to be a stud for USC. So that was cool to see. And then the freshman defensive end, Jide Abasiri, he's been one of the leaders in the weight gain category since arriving in January. An image of him beefing up floated around on social media. He looked really big to me. He's more of a raw prospect, but I think just his development as a younger guy gaining a lot of weight just goes to show you what the staff has been trying to do in the offseason. I thought Jameel Muhammad looked a little bit thicker and bigger, and Cade Eldridge, the tight end, looked bigger as well. So that was cool to see a lot of guys bulking up. Lincoln Riley said when he hired Danton Lynn, we want to get bigger on the defensive line. So they've certainly been doing that. Those are a few guys who stood out to me. And then Isaiah Rakes, he's a newcomer too, but I don't really know how big or how small he was at Texas A&M, but he just looks massive and looks like he'll be a good partner for Bear Alexander there, allow Bear to maybe play a little bit more freely. And Isaiah Rakes hopefully will just eat up offensive linemen and stuff the run. I think that's what his main job is going to be with the Trojans this year.
Yeah, I think Chris said in his ghost notes, maybe not 6'1", he's listed, but he's
he's not that tall, but I you don't need to be – like not everyone's going to be an NFL prospect, obviously, and you can still be a little smaller and help at the highest level in college football, and I think Isaiah Rakes has a great chance to do that.
I got some video here I'm going to queue up, and if you haven't – if you're listening on the podcast, you can go over our YouTube channel, youtube.com/InsideTroy. Couple highlight videos from that practice, and we'll have more of them coming up. But Kevin said he really enjoyed the DB drills footage yesterday. I'd like to see more.
Shout out Ryan.
Oh, thanks. More linebacker and defensive line drill footage. Linebackers, usually we can do. The defensive line is a lot of times far away in a corner. The offensive line is like literally on the other side, you know, 100 yards away. Like we can't
Can't see them.
You can't really get them. I can bring my camera with a big zoom and try to get it, but it's really hard.
Well, sometimes they go around the corner too, and then you really can't
see. Yeah, and then there's people in the way. It's not like it's a clear shot all the time. So we'll try. We're like, it's different days, and you know, we might have a little different angle, but typically the DBs are right in front of us, so we can get that. So day one, I got that one. But I'm going to play this video. We can kind of talk about some of the stuff we saw out there, because I mean, you know, guys like, you know, if you're watching the YouTube now, Anthony Beavers, thought he looked pretty good. You know, Carlos Nicholson was a guy that was up there. I mean, there's a bunch of different guys. Anyone sort of stand out to you defensive backfield wise?
Jalen Smith stood out to me, and I thought he looked really quick. And then just coming out of the tunnel, He just looks like – he's a guy who I covered in high school at Alamany, and some guys, they just rise up through the process, and it's like, okay, now it's my time. And I just got the feeling with Jalen Smith. He runs out of the tunnel. He's yelling. He's all hyped up. We hadn't seen a lot of energy like that from him in the past. I think he's going to have a really big season under Danton Lynn. And when we talked to Danton Lynn, Ryan, he said there were some guys at UCLA who, when I installed the defense – I thought they were going to take these big jumps and they didn't. And then other guys who maybe I didn't expect to, and they did. And I feel like Jalen Smith is going to take a massive jump under Danton Lynn. It just seems like his time is now. He has a lot of good things working for him, and I'm really happy for him, remembering him as a high school kid. It's cool to see that development play out.
Yeah, for sure. I like him a lot. Kevin also said, Chris and Connor said the media got more time. How much more time do you guys get? I don't know.
Double?
Yeah, maybe it was
maybe
like
a little more. Like, yeah, like 20 minutes, maybe.
We couldn't film the whole time, but we could watch more and get, was it like amazing stuff? No, I mean,
just drills.
Yeah, just some drills. But it's good to see, hey, what are the defensive backs doing? How's it split up? It's a pretty big group out there when you're kind of checking out, you know, what they were doing. And then just, you know, we weren't sure what the defensive sort of philosophy was going to be like. You know, how is practice? You know, we don't get to see the meat of practice, but you know, you can. It looks a little bit different. I don't. Any thoughts on what we saw that was maybe different? I mean, position drills are position drills, and that's mostly what we get to see, and that's what we got to see again on Tuesday.
Well, one thing that Chris hit on that I thought was really interesting was Danton Lynn was working with a group of cornerbacks, but it was a lot of the younger, more inexperienced cornerbacks, like Marcellus Williams, like the kid from Pacifica, Oxnard, Malachi Crawford, his name escaped me for a second,
yeah.
who didn't play last year. People who might not be in the plans of the first team defense this season, but someone or a group of people who I think are going to need a little bit of extra time and need to be taught this defense. And that was cool because we've heard so much about Danton Lynn as a teacher, and we care so much about development. Lincoln Riley always talks about, and teaching is the most important characteristic that I was looking for when I was bringing on these coaches. So the fact that Lynn was working with some of the younger corners, I thought was really interesting because those guys are going to need a little bit more help than others. And so I really enjoyed seeing him teach and seeing him work with those younger players, because I think Marcellus Williams, if he does get taught really from Danton Lynn and Lynn spends a lot of time with him, maybe he's someone who could fill a role for USC as the season goes on. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of options there in that DB room. Could, you know, maybe the most improved, we'll see.
I think so.
Blackie Chan says, will they let you bring a drone? Nope.
No.
They don't let you... No, no, no. A lot of restrictions. He also said I spelled Jacoby wrong. So I edited that video with a different program that I don't normally do for highlights. And I kind of noticed later on it was auto-correcting. You know, you have some weird names and it would auto-correct... I think it was Achille or something. I must have not caught that it auto-corrected Jacoby, so my apologies. I'll try to get that fixed for the next time. So, but yeah, the Michael Flores says the DB room looks stacked. I would agree. They definitely did. Who had some of the you guys got to shoot some of the other side? We didn't really shoot any offensive players, right? It was mostly on the defensive side we were shooting yesterday. Anyone from the – I didn't download that video to play on the show, but people can go check it out, the Sights and Sounds video over on our YouTube channel. But I think got to stand out from the guys that you were watching and shooting.
Well, I know Matt Entz as a coach stood out to a lot of people. He's grumbling and yelling at the guys and pulling people aside and just coaching. And if you haven't seen the Sights and Sounds video, I'd recommend checking it out just for Matt Entz. It was cool to see him working with his group. It was just different than what we saw from Brian Odom. It seems like Matt Entz, I'll just go back to the word teacher. Not that Odom wasn't a teacher, but I don't know. I just got more development and more teacher vibes from Entz. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Who knows? We'll have to see as the year goes on. I just felt like that's a guy who was locked in, who really took control of his room. And it was cool to see in one of the drills, it was Easton Mascarenhas Arnold who took the first rep, and then Mason Cobb was alongside him. So that makes me think, okay, maybe are those the two leaders of the linebacker room, which would make a lot of sense. Cobb, a captain last year, Mascarenhas Arnold, maybe a captain this year, someone who Lincoln Riley shouted out on Trojans Live as a potential leader. That was cool. And then Rajon Davis is behind them, and Eric Gentry a little bit more in the background, but that's kind of Eric Gentry's style. I wouldn't take too much away from a spring practice rep on March 19th in terms of who's going to play in the fall, but I do think he can take away a little bit. And to see Cobb and Mascarenhas Arnold in a leadership position, I thought that was awesome to see. And Elijah Newby was a second unit guy with Rajon Davis in some of those drills. So I think the staff has really high hopes for him. It was cool to see Entz coaching, and watch that video if you haven't, because he really gets into the guys.
No, he does. And I'm really curious about the linebacker room. Sorry, I was putting up this. I was not on the screen. I was talking there. Sorry, I was tweeting out our show, and then I went back there. Yeah, I'm curious about what this linebacker room is going to look like. I think what Chris said, like Arnold just looked like he was supposed to be wearing a USC uniform. So is that what I think he said something like that in the ghost notes?
Hey, he's a SoCal kid. That makes sense.
Yeah, he wore 55 at Oregon State, I think, right?
I'd have to go back and
look. I'm pretty sure he did. And but yeah,
he's number four now.
Four now,
right?
Yeah. You got some different, a lot of the low numbers are taken. A lot of interesting, you know, people were in the chat were talking about some of the numbers, like Deuce Robinson moved to two. Now he came out in a baseball uniform. We saw him walking around, but he's still baseball mode. Zachariah Branch, who's doing track, and he's got a meet this Saturday. He was out there, so he's still doing stuff. But we won't – I don't know if we won't see Deuce at all, but not much if we do, I would think, because of that.
I agree. Here's a developing opinion for you, Ryan. As I go through the depth chart and just think of the roster as a whole, let me know if you think this is crazy. I kind of feel a little bit better about the defense heading into the season right now than I do about the offense, because
– that's a take.
Yeah. I mean, I know Lincoln Riley is the guru, but – yesterday, he's talking all about how the offensive tackle depth is not where it needs to be. And I think they obviously need to add some players from the portal at tackle. And then you have a new quarterback. The running back is brand new. And ideally, Woody Marks comes in and plays like Marshawn Lloyd. But I don't know if you can just assume that's going to happen. And then behind him, it's a bunch of question marks with some younger backs. You don't have a number one receiver, at least heading into the year, like a Taj Washington or a Brennan Rice from last season. So I think that's something to watch. The line overall, forget the tackles, Jonah's at center, and then at guard, you have a couple question marks, or not a couple, one question mark maybe on the right side. So I look at the offense and I'm just kind of like, okay, there's a lot that needs to happen to feel better about that group as the spring moves on. And with the defense, I know it was bad last year, but I really love what they do at safety. I like their cornerbacks. I like the coaching upgrades. The linebackers, I think, should be better. The defensive line is probably where I have the most question marks, but I feel like right now I have more questions about the offense than I do the defense, and who would have thought would be sitting here saying that a couple months ago?
Yeah, I think there's still some holes that you're going to fill. The spring portal, the basketball portal opened, and there's some craziness going on. We're expecting a lot of craziness. I mean, college football is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right now, right? Like, Clemson just sued the ACC after Florida State did. We haven't got to 12. We haven't seen a 12 playoff team or 12 team playoff yet, but we've already like bumped it up and upgraded that before it's even happened. There's a lot of weird stuff that's going on in college football. The landscape's completely changing. I mean, the ACC is like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you're suing for divorce and maybe you don't, it's not granted, but do you think that relationship's going to be good going forward? Like, no, like Florida State wants out. They got, left out of the playoff. They felt if they were a stronger conference. Clemson, I mean, the ACC literally just signed a deal where they're going to get significantly less money in the new aforementioned college football playoff than the Big Ten and the SEC. So what do you think Clemson and Florida State think about that, where you basically put in writing, we're not as good as those other leagues? And so that's not going to make them happy. The instability in the sport is just very high, and we just don't know where this is going. Now, what? Why did we get on this?
I was talking about the USC offense and the defense. And then you took it to the state of college.
But there was something, like, there was a point that was there that I've just, like, lost.
Oh, the spring transfer portal, maybe?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to look a lot. Guys? Thank you, Connor.
Yeah. Way to go. I was kind of wondering that, too.
Way to go. Yeah. So the portal is probably going to be nuts. Who's the guy that, like, left Alabama for Iowa? Yeah,
Caden Proctor.
He's back. Washington hires a athletic director, he leaves 5 months later. You know, like the post-Jen Cohen era at Washington, it's a little shaky right now. Yeah, they went to the national championship game, but holy cow, there's some weird stuff going on. He ends up hiring Jed Fish, and now he's off to Nebraska. The landscape's changing. I think the spring portal could be bonkers. And yeah, maybe USC is going to bring in a left tackle or something, but you know, I like the way Elijah Page looked. There's just not a lot of depth there. Might probably get some help. We'll talk about, you know, Jonah Monheim moving to center and all that. But, yeah, there's some holes. But I feel like on the offensive side, you know, Riley could fill those maybe a little bit easier than guys on the defensive side. But some of the dudes they brought in and really the transformation, I don't know if it's just the defensive philosophy where, like, Alex Grinch is like, hey, we want these guys smaller. And Benny Wiley's like, okay. And now they're like, hey, we want these guys bigger. And Benny Wiley's like, okay, I'll do that. I mean, I had to give props to Benny just because the way the bodies look, there are a lot of dudes are new, but a lot of guys that have come back, and even guys that just got here a couple of months ago, they look like different human beings than they did before.
I just don't know how good of a team you're going to have if you need to rely on that second portal window to bring in a couple of guys who you need because you just have some holes on your roster. Ideally, I feel like you would have wanted to get another tackle before and maybe even another receiver or another running back. Talking to Dennis Simmons yesterday, I was like, you only have 7 receivers in the room. You had 11 at this point last year. Maybe you have some more tight ends. Does that help with the depth of pass catchers? And he was like, no, we're going to look for a receiver in the portal. And he was like, without a shadow of a doubt. And it was crazy to get that sort of certainty from Simmons because he doesn't really tell you a whole lot a lot of the time. So I thought that was significant. They are looking at receiver in the portal as well as tackle and probably some other spots too. So, I mean, I want USC to be better than 7-5. Their schedule is tougher. Their roster, you could probably argue right now, isn't quite as good. And they're going to really need to hit in that second transfer portal window on some impact guys to have a great season. I just don't know how sustainable that is. I hope it works out for them. But I have some serious questions because last year they tried to do the same thing and it didn't work out as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of those deals where like last year was kind of a more classic USC team, over-talented and underdeveloped, less coached, whatever you want to say. And you feel like that's going to be like this year is not going to be that way. Like maybe they're not quite as, you know, if you don't have Caleb Williams and maybe some of the other guys, but they have some quality players. It seems like they're getting better. They're going to be coached up better, just having a better defense. Yeah. So I think you're right. Like if you just put man for man, like, and that's all that mattered from last year to this year, at least this roster, you go with 2023, but just, you saw the way they performed and I'd have a lot more confidence in the way this 2024 will perform than what we saw last year. We'll have to see.
And the more I think about it, too, I just think the offensive line is the most important position group on the team because I do think you'll get better defensive play. And the D-line, while it might not be great, hopefully it can be good enough. But the offensive line, Joan at center, and then a lot of unproven pieces around him outside of maybe Emmanuel Prenyon, that's a unit that if they don't perform well, that can sink you real quick with a new quarterback and some young receivers, a running back who's in his first year with the team, and then some younger guys behind him. If you can get solid offensive line play, that should open up so much for an offense that's really inexperienced. And I'm excited to see what USC does in the transfer portal because they certainly need another tackle or two. And if Elijah Page is your left tackle, he wins that in spring camp. I think that's significant because remember last year, Ryan, Michael Tarquin's at left tackle. Oh, wait, no, he's not, because in spring he was so bad that we can't trust him at that spot. I hope Elijah Page has the anti or the reverse Michael Tarquin, wins the job, and then USC, they kind of understand exactly where they are from a tackle perspective and what they need to do in the portal, because that certainly cost him last year as well. They bet on Tarquin to be that left tackle. He wasn't able to do the job. He eventually loses his starting job on the right side at the end of the year, and it was just a nightmare. Hopefully they, even though the numbers aren't there, the guys who they have are better, and then you know what you need to do in the portal, and maybe it's one guy instead of two who you really are relying on.
Yeah, you know, Elijah Page looked good in the Holiday Bowl, and I think Lincoln Riley's sort of banking on that. He talked about the depth not being great, but you mentioned last year Jonah Monheim had to go out there and play left tackle.
Had to save him.
Well, guess what? He's going to save him this year by moving to center. You know, I was hoping like Gino Quinones could come out and do and play center. He just he's not ready yet, so we'll see. I mean, that might change. But I think when we talked to Monheim yesterday, you talked to Lincoln Riley, you know, just looking at where he projects to be at the next level, he did come back. I don't think he was going to come back and play left tackle again. He's not going to be a left tackle in the NFL. Wouldn't really help him. You got some tape out there. That's great. Shows versatility because, you know, in the NFL, you got like 7 or 8 guys. Like, you don't have that many dudes. You got to play multiple positions. But he's going to be an interior guy. Said his body's, you know, kind of built like a center. And he hasn't played center in a game since like youth football, but he's gone through practices and stuff. Feels pretty good chemistry-wise. But that's probably the biggest move right now. It's great to have a veteran back, but he's going to be in another spot. He's really cerebral. I mean, he's a smart dude. I asked him about making the calls, and there's just a lot that goes, you know, if you're a tackle, like you're sort of worried about your chemistry with the guy next to you. Center, you have to worry about everybody, and you it's his job to get everybody on the same page. But he looks like he can do it athletically, the body type and all that, but also, you know, the football IQ is there. And I think you want someone like that sort of leading the way, being the, you know, quarterback of the offensive line. And I think Monheim should do that pretty well. You know, I probably prefer him at guard, but, you know, I think there's some good spots for him. I mean, I think there's good things you can say about him playing center too. I think he'll do good wherever he does, but yeah, so I don't know, it's my thoughts. What do you think about Monheim?
He's your get out of jail free card. You put him in any spot, and he's going to do really well. Remember, yeah. Josh Henson last year was like, outside of Jonah, I didn't think anyone performed at the level we needed after a few games when he talked to us. So I feel that Jonah will do well at center, and it's an adjustment. But I really feel like he's that get out of jail free card. You can put him anywhere, and okay, we don't have to worry about that spot. I have to worry about some other spots, but wherever Jonah is, we're going to be okay. And to me, like, I feel like the line is so inexperienced. It would be great if he was at left tackle again and you figured the rest out, because I think that's the most important spot on the line. Clearly, though, at the next level, he is an interior lineman. Maybe he said, hey, if I come back, I'm going to need to get on tape some next level film, because I like playing tackle, but my home at the next level is center. I don't know if that was a deal or not. And if obviously USC wouldn't have said no to that. They'd say, we'll take you back no matter what it takes. So I think he'll be able to perform well wherever he goes, but I'm nervous about tackles. I know Chris feels the same way.
Yeah. I mean, like Riley said, he likes the guys they have, but you know, probably have Mason Murphy right now would be the starting right tackle. Mm-hmm. Elijah Page would be the starting left tackle.
And then behind them, you have no experience at all. So that's a concern.
Yeah, the depth is a concern there. So I think, you know, that's, you know, going to the portal, trying to get help. Now, they do.
I think Tarquin leaving really killed him, because he had another year and they just were banking on him to be the left tackle, but then come back. And then that just didn't happen.
But yeah, and he, that wasn't the case. But, you know, they, 2 classes in a row, they brought in a bunch of offensive linemen. You know, so your guy like Page is developed. And, you know, I think they like some of those guys too, and we'll see. But, you know, by the end of spring, summer, some of those younger guys, are they going to be on the 2 deep? And have they developed enough where they're going to be, if, you know, if they had to be called into duty, they would be able to do it. So we'll have to kind of see there. But probably getting a portal guy, and we'll see what else they do on that offensive line. But yeah, it's shaping up to be kind of interesting there. You know, Miller Moss looked pretty good. with that line at the Holiday Bowl, you're going to hope that that kind of continues against a pretty good Louisville defense. It's a bowl game. All that stuff is weird. So why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break, and we will come back and talk a little more spring ball and then get to your questions. Back in a minute, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All righty, we're back here on the Parasol Podcast. We're live on YouTube. If you're listening across the podcasting platforms, wherever you get it, thank you so much. Tell a friend you're listening to the Parasol Podcast. You want to hear what's going on around USC football. We got actual football to talk about. Very happy about that, Connor. You know, it's just, we miss it. Like, there's offseason stuff, that's fine. The portal stuff, I mean, the conference realignment, there's all this stuff that's sort of outside of the football world that's important. At least because it changes, I mean, it changes the sport itself, rule changes or all the conference realignments, anything that's going on in the world, the transfer portal, guys leaving, guys staying, coaches moving, people getting fired, whatever it is, it impacts the games in the fall. But you end up talking about that a lot. And so once we get to like spring ball, we can actually talk about football. Like, guys are out there performing. We don't really get to see some of the, you know, performance we'd like to, you know, one-on-ones with DBs and wide receivers and things like that. But we're going to see enough, and you're going to, you know, talking to some of the players. We talked to other guys. Miller Moss spoke yesterday after practice. Some other guys. Anything stand out from what we learned? You could even talk about what Lincoln Riley said too, but anything kind of stand out from the players or coaches that we heard from yesterday?
I thought the biggest words yesterday were "we'll see" for Miller Moss when he was asked, "What does a USC team with Miller Moss DNA look like?" And he said, "We'll see," because there are a lot of questions on that offense. Like I've talked about, Ryan, and if you want to hear that, maybe you weren't listening, you can rewind about 15 minutes and I go through the offense there. But I think the first day of spring, those are the two most important words. We'll see, and we'll take it from there. And then when Riley talked, he hit on the depth at tackle. And I think overall the most important thing, he talked about how Luke Kuechly going from inside receivers coach to quarterbacks coach is going to allow Riley to be more of a CEO coach, not necessarily be in every quarterback meeting like he was a year ago, sit in on more defense meetings, sit in on more other position group meetings in or on offense. So to the people who were calling for Riley to do that, saying he's, you know, his head's buried in the play sheet, he's only offense, he doesn't care about anything else. I think that was important. And to me, I'm sure Riley is doing that, but I think he is going out and saying it because he wants people to know that, hey, I'm more than just an offensive coach. I'm doing more. I think he's changing a little bit. It's like a Lincoln Riley evolution, so to speak. And the reason he talks about it so much every time we've spoken to him the last few times, he's saying how he wants to be more involved in everything. I think because he is, and B, he's aware of the perception out there that exists where it's like, oh, okay, Lincoln Riley, he'll maybe win you a Heisman at quarterback, but on defense, good luck.
Yeah, and I think with Luke Heuard, he said they kicked it around last year, maybe making him the quarterback's coach. Now, you had, you know, some star power there, you know, at the quarterback spot. You know, Lincoln Riley, you know, he's a quarterback guru, right? But being able to not just be in the QB meeting rooms and, you know, they had Cliff Kingsbury last year. Luke Heuard, you know, quarterback family, been around quarterbacks a lot, you know, knows the position. So I think it'll be helpful for Miller Moss in that room to kind of have him in there and moving around. I think it shows, you know, he just turned 40, right? It's a sense of maturity where this is like your baby is coaching quarterbacks, calling the plays, and you're going to give part of that up to make sure that you can sit in a defensive meeting. And it's funny, he talked about like, you know, he probably knows more than a lot of the defensive players right now because he's been around it. But, you know, he doesn't know the whole defense and stuff yet, too. So he can do some of those things as more of like a CEO role, like you said. So I think that shows maturity. And I think that's something that as a team, it's probably a better thing that you let somebody else kind of handle the quarterbacks. And maybe Cliff Kingsbury was sort of like de facto guy by doing that. But this is an on-the-field coach and Luke Heuard that's going to be able to kind of do that. And everyone loves Dennis Simmons. So just having him coach all the receivers, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, it makes all the sense in the world. I was thinking about asking Lincoln Riley if he's given thought to not being the play caller anymore. So maybe we'll get that at some point. Like, I'm not going to be the quarterback coach anymore, but will you ever get to the point where you're not calling the plays? I think that's probably even just not having, you could tell we asked, he had a funny, I forget one of the answers, but it was kind of a funny line that, you know, it's tough on him not to be coaching the quarterbacks, but I think he's going to be the play caller for a while.
I think Riley's been asked that before, and he gives an answer that I don't know if I believe when he's like, I'll do anything. I'll consider anything if it gives us a better chance to win. I just feel like his, like the magic of Lincoln Riley is his play calling. So I wonder what it would take for him to eventually give that up. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but I remember, I forget exactly when he was asked about it, but he said, never say never. Don't rule it out. Yeah. I don't know if I totally believe him, though.
No, I would say, I mean, I'm not going to say never. Never say never is probably true, but not very likely is the other aspect of this. Like, I just don't think it's likely that he's going to end up not calling the plays. It's funny, we're doing the podcast of champions with David Woods, and you know, talk about the Pac-12, and Kenny Dillingham comes from Oregon as the very young offensive coordinator, gets hired to replace the very old Herm Edwards at Arizona State, and hired, I think it was Bo Baldwin to start as the offensive coordinator. And it was a disaster on offense. And David was going on a rant about, you were literally hired because you're like this young offensive mind, and you, not because you are CEO, you are like a young offensive guru. You should call the freaking plays, dude. So in that case, it's like, no, that's what you do very well. Like, this is your first time being a head coach. The thing you do, like, the thing is your thing. You know, if you're the home run hitter, like, and you're batting cleanup and you're like, I'm going to work on my bunts. You're like, no, we didn't get, you didn't bring you here for this. We hit, you know, hit the long ball, strike out a few times. That's fine. And he eventually took over play calling duties. But I think he hired somebody else this year too. So, but I don't know.
I will say The Athletic has been all over this. I think Jimbo Fisher is the last head coach to call offensive plays and win a national championship. So it's really challenging to do that based on precedent. It just doesn't happen as much. Dan Weber's written all about how the best coaches historically have a defensive background. That's not going to change with Lincoln Riley, but maybe he will change who the play caller is, and that could help. Look at Ryan Day bringing in Chip Kelly, having him call the plays, and Day's going to change. So never say never with a lot of these guys. It is interesting, though, historically, if you call the plays, it's really hard to win, and it hasn't happened for a while.
No, that's a good point. I think it would take – it wouldn't just be like handing it over to somebody. I mean, I think you'd want to bring in like your own like – a different guru who was somewhere else. So you're like, all right, you're going to come here. You ran this amazing offense wherever at school X, and now we're going to bring you in. And,
do you think Riley would do that though? I feel like he'd – for play calling would want it. This is the one thing that I'd be comfortable with him doing. The one time I'd be comfortable with him doing it too. Keep it close to the vet, like keep someone in the coaching tree, that air raid, that Mike Leach, bring someone in who knows what Riley wants to do. Because I think he's sort of that's not really going to change much. He'll adapt his offense, how he sees fit. But I think that's sort of the whole Lincoln Riley allure is that offense. I don't envision him ever bringing in a coordinator who does something different than that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a hot offensive coordinator that's from the tree or something. Yeah, I don't think he would bring in somebody that like power eye football or something. Not that no. Anyone does. No one does that. Like the wing tee. I want to see someone come out like for a quarter and you're just like, yeah, you're just running like the wing tee or something. You're like some triple option and you're like, defense is like, what? You know, I don't know how hard that would be. Very limited time. It would be very difficult to do that. But I just want to see someone do that one day. That would be kind of fun. Especially just like, man, they would be terrible against this. They wouldn't prepare for it. Just like, you know, pull it out of nowhere. I think that's – Stanford tried to do the slow mesh, actually torched USC, I think, a couple years ago with David Shaw. But then after that, it was not – didn't work very well. But they tried to kind of slip that one in there. Anything else from practice you want to mention? I'm trying to think of any other sort of cool storylines. I can kind of glance through Chris's ghost notes and –
The one other thing that comes to mind, Elijah Page, I didn't think said anything all that interesting or breaking newsy, but you hear the term redshirt freshman and left tackle, and it's like, okay, that is probably not a good mix. He's probably too inexperienced. But Lincoln Riley on Trojans Live said, I think he meant outside of Jonah Monheim, but he said, Elijah Page in the bowl game played the best game of any tackle that we had last year. Again, I don't think that includes Jonah, but either way, that was very high praise for Page. And then when you talk to Elijah Page, he's mature, but he's massive. He's towering over all the media people, which isn't too hard to do, I guess, but he just looks the part. He looks like a left tackle. And I think I'm more confident in him than I am at Mason Murphy at right tackle. Maybe that doesn't play out how I see it, but I think his upside is really high, and I think he has a chance to be good at left tackle. I'm nervous about it because he's new. He hasn't really done it a whole lot, but I think he has a real chance, and it's clear the USC staff feels that way because no one else is here to compete with them right now.
Yeah. A couple other notes, thanks to Chris and his ghost notes. If you haven't checked those out, those are great. And if you're not, you got to be a member. If you're not, 50% off right now, so go check it out. Jacoby Lane is up to 197 pounds, up almost 20 pounds, and he tested 48 inches in the vertical, which is kind of crazy. That's a leaper. I could get him on my volleyball team. That'd be kind of fun. That's pretty impressive. He's like 6'4", I think, right? He's pretty tall. 6'3", 6'4", something like that. Zachariah Branch, we already mentioned. He's got a track meet on Saturday. I think it was Lane that was trying to like rally the troops and get people to show up and check it out.
he was doing a lot of yelling about that after practice. Yep.
It was like it was funny. He was a salesman out there. Yeah. Definitely a hype man. That was cool to see. Chris at the end asked Branch about like what his EA Sports college football score would be. He was hoping at least a 90, but you'll see what his speed would be. It'd be kind of interesting, but yeah, I don't know if Chris asked other players.
He'll get a 90 because I hope that they look at that special teams award that he won, the best returner in the country. Like, he was up and down as a receiver a little bit. He missed some games, but if you're the best return man in college football, you should at least get a 90 rating for overall, in my opinion. I think that award should get him a 95, if anything.
Yeah. He had a couple notes on some linemen. Braylon Shelby, just a freak. He looked big. Barrel Alexander wasn't taking part, but Chris said he's about 13 pounds heavier. And you know, seeing Elijah Page up close, I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'3". I think Keeley might have been in front of me, and I was like, you know, Keeley's kind of tall for a girl. Like, I think she's 5'8 or 5'9", but I'm like looking over her head. So there's like kind of Keeley, then I'm looking over her head like behind her, and then if I remember correctly, but someone like that. And then Paige is like,
yeah, big guy.
He's up there. So yeah, there's some of the notes that were going on. It was, I liked seeing, got to see some Doug Belk up close. You were seeing more Matt Entz up close. And like you'd mentioned, Lynn kind of working with some of the younger corners and stuff, getting involved. We, you know, last couple of years, we saw Alex Grinch kind of working with the safeties. So Lynn, you know, defensive back background, it'll be interesting to see sort of, you know, what transpires there. Taylor Mays was back. I wasn't sure if he was going to get a full-time job somewhere, but he's back. So that's some experience in the secondary as well. But yeah, just a few notes from Chris's thing.
It was cool to see Eric Henderson take control of the defensive linemen in one particular drill. They're all together too. The ends and the interior guys, it's all the same. They're the days of the rush ends doing one thing, the defensive ends doing one thing, and then the defensive linemen doing another thing. Maybe in some instances that'll be the same, but at least for what we saw, everyone's together. It's a lot of people in that room, but a lot of guys working on the same thing, which I thought was interesting. Sean Nua, he took control when USC did the sleds last year, and he was doing more of that this year too, but Eric Henderson's right in the mix too, and he's getting down on the sled, and he's showing people the way. I thought Cameron Fountain took a really good rep. You block the sled and then spin out of it and tackle a donut. There's a few clips on our site of guys doing that, but Henderson is another guy who I wanted to shout out because we heard a lot from Entz, and Entz was sort of right in front of us, but Eric Henderson was doing some coaching off to the right too, and we have some clips of him. It's interesting to watch the Eric Henderson and Sean Nua dynamic. I think they're still figuring each other out a little bit, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because it's, you know, Sean Nua was the defensive line coach, now defensive ends coach. You bring in Coach Henny, Eric Henderson, and, you know, big personality, you know, ace recruiter. I mean, for someone that doesn't work in college, looks like he's just crushing on the recruiting trail. Mm-hmm. That's got to be tough. Like, he's going to suck up a lot of oxygen in that room, right? I mean, so that dynamic, I think, will be interesting to kind of see and how that develops.
I agree, too, because I think with Nua being the only holdover, it's going to be interesting to see how he works with everyone on that staff.
We had a question from Brian. He said, is there a real possibility of Aaron Darnold joining the staff? Eric Henderson, who we talked about, coached Aaron Darnold. He's retired. He went on. Did you see the interview? Like, I think Henderson, or maybe did, maybe they asked Darnold. I forget. There was I saw an interview on Twitter, but I didn't go and click through it. But there was talk about that like a day or so ago. Any thoughts on that possibility?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. What, Aaron Darnold retires and then becomes a defensive analyst at USC? No, he retires and vacations the world and buys a yacht and goes to Europe and does whatever he wants to do. I do not see him joining the USC staff. I think Eric Henderson is smart to say, hey, I coach this guy, and at every possible chance Aaron Donald's in the news, shout him out and say that I at least was a small part of what he was able to do in the NFL. But him actually joining the USC staff in any capacity except for maybe a guest speaker every now and then, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think the guest speaker thing is cool. Like, if you have a big recruiting weekend and you want him to come by, like, oh, hey, look, it's Aaron Darnold, you know? Like, and he's in L.A. if he's still in L.A., all that. I think he went to do some acting or something. I don't know. But
wrestling, he could do whatever.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of options, but you want to call in a favor for a big weekend? I don't think he'd be around the camp, you know, campus a lot, no. But for a big weekend, maybe. I don't know.
It's just funny. Like, this is a classic USC fan thing, and it's like the people on the Peristyle who I do my depth chart, and I have Mason Murphy at right tackle, and I was like, he's not a tackle. What are you talking about? He's not gonna be right tackle. He's a guard. He's not a tackle. And he's the right tackle if the season started tomorrow.
Right.
Now Aaron Darnold retired. Oh, Eric Henderson, he coached Aaron Darnold. Maybe Aaron Donald's going to be on the USC staff. Oh, I can see it. It's like, would you guys, like, I love the USC fans. And a lot of times I think the fans on our board are so smart. But then there are other times where they just can't see through those rose-colored glasses, man. It's like, why would Aaron Darnold become a defensive analyst at USC? He could be doing a million different things.
Right.
He's made all his money. He's one of the best defensive players of all time. If he wanted to be a coach, I'm sure it would be at the NFL level. Forget the college level. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I think the cameos are the way to go for Aaron Darnold. Michael in the chat says, what are some notable number changes? I noticed Lemon rocking the number 6.
How much time do you have?
Quentin Joyner's 0.
Deuce moving to 2.
Deuce went to 2.
Which is really cool, I think.
Let's see. I'm looking, just kind of glancing. Who else?
I can pull up something.
It's all right. Let's see.
I think Deuce was my... I mean, Quentin Joyner taking over... Or I have it right here. Quentin Joyner taking over 0. I will ignore the transfers. Jalen Smith taking over number 1 for Damani Jackson, I think, is pretty cool. A lot of transfers here. Lemon at 6. Kamari Ramsey at 7. He's a transfer. I said I wouldn't talk about them. I messed that up.
That's okay.
Jacoby Lane going to 8. This isn't good radio, just listing off all the numbers. Good. But the ones that – Deuce Robinson, I think, is the coolest. Name is Deuce. Goes to number 2. Good for him.
Yeah. The Mascarenhas Arnold one was – I believe it was 55 at Oregon State.
Yeah, I looked that 4. Up. You're right.
It was – yeah, and then it's 4. So, Blackie Chan, how did Jaden Maiava look? We didn't really get
to
see
him. He looked good jogging out of the tunnel, but didn't really see anything from the quarterbacks.
I think we asked – I asked – or someone asked – Zachariah Branch, and he says he's got a strong arm, I believe was the and I think the word we've been getting is like kind of upside. So we'll see. Like nothing I saw yesterday made me think that Miller Moss wasn't gonna be the starting quarterback, but I think there's some promising aspects for Jaden, and we'll see kind of how he grows and develops too.
And Riley did say there's no timeline for naming a quarterback. I don't wanna back myself into a corner, so don't expect a Miller Moss's QB1 announcement anytime soon.
We got a text message from Mike in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. If they're a real place, that'd be kind of funny. Which Trojan not named Caleb Williams do you think will be drafted first?
I think I said Marshawn Lloyd when we did this.
Yeah, and I would say Marshawn Lloyd.
Last time. I think Kalen Bullock, his stock is – taking a hit a little bit, so I don't anticipate him going too early. It could be him, could be Brendan Rice, but I think I keep going back to Marshawn Lloyd. I think a team is going to fall in love with him, and the running back market, it's cheap, but we saw the free agent running backs this past offseason, or like a couple weeks ago, guys are getting paid a little bit. I think it's the pendulum sort of going back a little bit in the other direction to where guys are not just getting cut the second they get hurt. Like we see Saquon Barkley pick up a big deal after having a bunch of injuries. So maybe that's a good sign for Marshawn Lloyd and just the running back class overall. It's a pretty good class. I wouldn't be surprised if Lloyd was the 2, 3, or 4 running back selected, whether that's the second or third round. I don't know, but I think he's the second guy.
I think so too. I mean, Detroit, I think they moved up to get the running back from Alabama. Why am I blanking on his name right now? But you know, our old buddy Brandon Sosna, you know.
I'm blanking on the guy's
part
name
of that
too.
His
fantasy. He helped a lot of people.
I know. He was a good fantasy back. And that worked out. You know, he was like a second back. But
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, Gibbs, electric. And they used a first-round pick on him. And it was a late first-round pick. And he wasn't like – it wasn't a Saquon Barkley. It wasn't a – Derrick Henry, he was like the complimentary back guy and, you know, with Montgomery, and it worked out well. So, yeah, maybe that helps him a little bit that you can get a guy that you like. And if Tennessee wants to try to replace Derrick Henry, you know, you can't replace the king, but Lloyd, could we get close?
Lloyd seemed so excited about the visit, too. The fact that he was flying out after the pro day, he was pumped. That would be a great fit. They're rebuilding a little bit, but all of a sudden, they'd have a lot of nice young pieces if he goes there. They just signed Calvin Ridley, too, who's not as young, but with Will Levis and some other guys. The guy who torched USC in the bowl game at Tulane, the running back, he's
yeah,
on the Titans.
Well, I forget his name, but yeah.
So they have some young talent there. It'd be cool if he joined that group.
You look at like what Houston did. I think a lot of people are saying, maybe we could do that. CJ Stroud and all those guys. So Will Anderson and everybody. In the chat, Kevin says, what do you make of Nua standing around while Coach Henderson ran the defensive line drill?
Yeah, fire him. Fire him. No.
You should fire him.
Really tough to take much away from that. Like I said earlier, I think those two guys are still kind of figuring out the dynamics, and it's new. Nua was the one coach on that side of the ball who was retained, and Eric Henderson, this big shot, defensive line coaches coming in. I think they're still developing a working relationship.
Steven says, who was the punter a few years ago? We were hearing was, quote, booming punts on the practice field, and they were visible from Loker Track Stadium, but then he fizzled out when he played in games. I'm blanking on his name. It was like the 30-year-old former Australian rules football player, and I can't.
Ben? No.
What the heck was his name?
Five Stars Only was talking to me today about some punter.
Yeah, I forget his name. Sorry, I'm old and I forget stuff now. But no, he did boom punts in practice and was not good in game. I think some of that was also, I think we've seen like overcoaching from special teams coaches at times where they're like, do it directionally, do it this way, as opposed to just, you know, let it go, let it fly. Now you can outkick your coverage, and I think that's a real concern. But man, there were just so many times they couldn't flip the field, and that was bad. But I think it was funny. Like, one of the funny stories is Coach Harvey Hyde, when he was the UNLV head coach, and Randall Cunningham was his quarterback. Obviously, you know that name. You probably do. And he was also the team's punter and was like a ridiculously good punter.
Oh, yeah.
And Hyde, like, one of the coaches was trying to tell him what to do, and Coach basically like slapped his hand and like, don't do that. Like, he's 70-yard punts. Like, let him freaking punt, you know? Like, don't fix what's not broken. I think there was some of that that was maybe fixing what wasn't broken. That was a problem. Yeah. Yeah, Ozzy. And then speaking of Ozzy punters, Aiden Sleep Dalton, we saw yesterday.
He was at Pro Day today.
He was at the Pro Day?
Yep.
So he was the different version of the Ozzy punter, the young version. And Ben Griffiths. Okay.
I knew it was Ben.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Kevin said that. He Googled it. Yeah. Sleep Dalton was like now USC had another punter. They didn't get him in. And then they get Sleep Dalton late, Sleepy. And, but he was a high school kid. So he didn't have like 6 years of professional Australian rules football experience or anything like that. You know, Ben Griffiths was like married and stuff, like being the oldest guy, you know. But apparently that didn't work out. So he is, he's still around. He's on campus. So he might be one of those things where he's still going to school, still getting a scholarship, but he's not on the team anymore. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Who else? So Sierra Wright wasn't there. He's not on the team. He wasn't on the roster. There was one other name, I think, that wasn't on the roster. Sleep Dalton.
Stanley Taufuo.
Oh, yeah. He was not. He's in our intro, by the way, like for Tunnel
Vision. Yeah, because he scored a touchdown.
He scored a touchdown. Like, was that the
Nevada,
the highlight play of his career? I would say, you know, that one, and we've immortalized him in our intro there. So that was good. All right. Anything else?
I'm excited for practice tomorrow.
Yeah. So Shotgun will be here. I'm taking a little R&R. You don't get I don't get a lot of vacations. So as boss man,
you don't say.
I'm going to one of my favorite days. I used to do this with a buddy in Manhattan Beach. We would go on like Thursday, sometimes Friday, Sharkies at like 9 a.m. and just watch every tournament game. I love the opening. I mean, I'm not a big – I was a bigger college basketball fan when I was, you know, younger or whatever. But the tournament is its own thing. It's great. I think they might ruin it, try to expand it and stuff. But, yeah, so I'm going to sort of a boys' trip to Vegas watching pretty much all day, Thursday, Friday, like sports books kind of stuff. Just watch games and it should be a lot of fun.
I'm jealous, but I will be enjoying practice. That'll be fun. And my Syracuse Orange, they're not in the tournament. They just stink at basketball now. They don't get it anymore. So
yeah, what happened?
How long do you have?
Is Boeheim not, is he gone? Or
he's gone, but they have no clue about NIL.
Oh.
And it's hurting them.
No matchup zone.
They're not really doing zone as much. They're mixing and matching. I thought the coach did a nice job this year, but not even close to the tournament, and they've lost a couple of their best players in the transfer portal already, so not good.
What was the arena called before?
Carrier Dome?
Yeah, the Carrier Dome, which maybe this is why Syracuse is bad at NIL. They like sell the naming rights in perpetuity.
And it's now the JMA Wireless Dome. They got out of it. I wonder how much they had to pay Carrier, but they got out of it.
Yeah, so they said, yeah, just here, give us $50. We'll put your name on the, you know, which it's one of those things where, you know, like Carrier's a, you know, air conditioning company or whatever, right? Which is mostly what they do, which is weird to be in Syracuse, like, because
they had a bunch of factories, and they might have,
it's like coldest place in the country.
I don't know how they it ended, but I don't know if Carrier was really doing too hot either. So maybe they were just like, okay, let's go.
It's just like separate. Yeah. But yeah, you don't want to sell that in perpetuity. That's probably
That was not smart.
So maybe that's where the NIL shortcomings are coming from. That, but now, what is it called now? It's like something
JMA Wireless Dome.
Okay, so that's just awful. Like, Carrier Dome became a thing. Uh-huh. Like, it becomes one of the coolest ones was the Great Western Forum. So Great Western was the bank here in California, and it just sounds cool. The Great Western Forum, you know, even like Staples Center, after a while, it just became a thing. When it's like crypto.com, like if there's a .com in your name or J, like initials and some other word, like why, like that doesn't roll off the tongue. I'm not thinking about an arena or a stadium in that way. But I guess you can call crypto the crypt, but like Staples Center just became a Staples Center. And like the Great Western Forum, though, was awesome because it sounds like, it doesn't even sound like it's a sponsored event. It sounds like Great West. Like, this is an awesome forum. It's great. It's in the West. We're calling it the Great Western Forum, but it literally was a sponsor. You know, like those made sense. And maybe the Carrier Dome was just years and years or decades of existence, but it made sense. And JW Wireless.
JMA.
Yeah, that one. That sounds terrible. They should make the tournament just with the name of that.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir.
Is it old? Like, it needs to just be like torn down, right?
They've renovated it, so
okay.
It's supposed to be. I haven't been in a long time, so I can't speak to that. But apparently, they've renovated it.
All right. Well, good stuff, Connor. It's good to be back in this seat, sitting down, feeling good, feeling strong. Today was the last day of my challenge, my F45 day challenge. I lost 11 pounds in 45 days. Wow, pretty good. Yeah,
looking good.
I'm trying. That was fun. I ate a bunch of cookies before the thing. I did like my final weigh-in.
Take that back.
I did my final weigh-in. Now I'm like, I'm going to Vegas now. I'm like, okay, now I'll just put it all back on over the weekend. So it'll be good. No, but I'm trying to work out and stuff. It's good. Hopefully you guys, everyone stay in shape, be healthy, do what you need to do. But we'll wrap it up. For Connor Morissette, Mr. Triple Double, I am Ryan Abraham. Make sure you check out USAFootball.com. 50% off. Like I said, lots of cool stuff over there. Hope you guys all enjoy the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Trader Joe's in Southern California. We go way back.
Kind of like USC football.
In the beginning, it was so bad that Dave Hetzel and I took turns dressed in a gorilla suit, flagging people in.
That's from episode 1 of Inside Trader Joe's. We hope you'll check it out.
Or some of our other podcast episodes about the past, present, and future of Trader Joe's and all those cool products.
Inside Trader Joe's is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.